Way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Now, if you
okay,
completely...
Just stop. Okay, I've already deleted the last 20 minutes. We're recording now. Normally, I'm kind of cute, and I'm like, pretend like we're not recording, but we just went down a 20-minute rabbit hole.
Wayne did.
Where Mitch ruined it.
Wayne brought up something. What? I'm not even going to say what, but something that I don't even want to talk about.
So, I said we went down a rabbit hole, then tried to change the subject. Then you had to bring it back just so that everybody knew that it was Wayne that did it, because you have some sort of massive...
So now he's still trying to pick a fight.
No!
After the fact.
I was
making a joke. Just move on. Jeez.
We were talking about Mitch's nipples, and then things got really weird. What?
Well, now you made it weird. We were talking about clothing.
I'm pretty good at that.
You're talking about undershirts.
Aaron thinks it's weird.
Armachillo underwear.
Yeah. To recap the part that I would have liked to have kept in, but is now, you know, gone into the ether.
I could bring it back.
Aaron thinks it's odd to wear an undershirt.
Under a
polo.
Polyester. Under a dolphin polo.
Yeah, it's not. Anyway, moving on.
So you always have to have your top button tied, otherwise people will
I don't have my top button done. It's a V-neck.
That's how you do that.
Oh my God, we're doing this again.
See, he's doing this again. Oh, that's how you do that. This is like...
That way you get the, hey, I got chest hair thing going on.
Legend lives on.
Oh
from
my gosh.
The Chippewa on down.
Are we done? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 61.
I gotta be done on time, yeah, so let's move along.
Then quit picking fights. We are glad to be here and glad to bring you episode 61 of the Dutch by Association podcast.
We're halfway through a thing of beef jerky.
Yes, and maybe it's your grass-fed beef jerky that is causing us to be all sorts of ornery tonight.
I don't know. I've never seen Mitch more wrong.
Why?
What?
You know...
I've seen him wrong, but then tonight it's just a little extra.
You could just say, so, moving on.
No, that's fine.
Trying to bring up things from the past. What are you, an ex-girlfriend?
Man, I got him all upset.
Did. No. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But speaking of Mitch flaking out, we had a good time with our buddy Rob Sand joined
I didn't us. Flake out. I had prior... plans.
Oh. Which you could have changed.
You could have changed.
I could have, but I didn't.
Yep.
Hey, what did I miss?
You would have brought a lot to the table.
You really think so?
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that it wouldn't have been worth your time? Is that what you're...
No, I like Rob.
And you but elite I, dick?
Wow. You put a lot of words in my mouth today.
What did I miss?
I didn't say it like... Wow.
What did we miss?
I'm asking you, what did I miss?
Well, Thomas Jefferson.
Why is he Thomas?
You would have had to have seen Hamilton. To catch that reference.
So and even Mitch is trying to... Hamilton, and I'm still not...
What did I miss?
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I...
What did I miss?
Got it.
And Jenny cut.
So two Saturdays ago, we rented the museum.
Yeah.
You were at a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I think I listened to the football game a little bit. They won.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They played like a JUCO. And
they played Ohio, who's an FBS school.
Oh. Miami of Ohio?
No, Ohio University. They're not good, but it wasn't a JUCO. Give me a break.
And we invited Rob Sand over. We opened up the call to any Republican that wanted to come down. lots of responses of, well, I don't really, you know, do politics. Well,
there was a lot of that.
Your face otherwise. Otherwise. Yeah.
And
what are those planks in your yarn?
I've got nothing, you know, I got nothing to talk to a guy that, you know,
and we
like
we,
that.
We attempted to hold the event in town here, and the establishment said they had something going on, and
right
there was, and then,
was it the Friday before
going on?
It was like the Thursday or Friday before you and I had got together, and then we, right. we looked. Yep. It was like, oh, look, they're vacant. They don't have anything going on that we asked if we could host it. Oh, well, but had a nice time. Rob was really happy.
Like, yeah,
we expected him to be happy when he was there, you know, because he has to be,
right.
even if he's not.
He's a politician.
You know, I'm really glad with the turnout.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk afterwards where we can be a little more candid. And then, yeah, later he's like, yeah, you know, I was really happy with the turnout. But then this week I saw pictures from an event, and you'll have to help me with the name, of the Democratic side, the ticket running for governor. Is it DeGier?
DeGier.
Yeah. She had a event that was held, which looked like in a classroom somewhere, was seating for 14. And it said that it was full and there were people waiting in the hall. And I thought, and they were just amazed at the turnout. And I thought, what? Okay, now maybe that's why Rob is so happy, yeah. because look at this event where a Democrat
apparently
had
that one
14 people
was held in
the classroom
in Sioux Center or something,
and had people standing room only in this small classroom. We're just pumped with the turnout. Okay. Oh, now I see why Rob is excited.
So
I was just going to say the turnout wasn't what I had hoped. I was hoping we would have gotten more people, but it's
we didn't.
It's tough.
We didn't need microphones.
No.
To talk, but what I will say is this. It was a very, very interesting expedition into political discourse, because the majority of the people
not all.
It wasn't all. Laura was there. We had our favorite pumpkin lady there. We had John there. I mean, there was.
Oh, no. Okay. I misunderstood where you were going. I was going to say all of them were Republican leaning.
Oh,
if
yes.
If not registered Republicans.
No, okay. You are correct on that. I was going to say majority of them were in somehow
related to
Aaron.
To me.
Yes.
That just means from Sanborn.
And Rock Valley.
There was that.
Yeah. So. That's terrible. We've only been in Sanborn 80 years, man. We're not related to all the town.
But what was interesting was, we didn't really have like an agenda or kind of we didn't really know how to navigate the evening necessarily. We figured maybe we'd do a podcast. Weren't really sure exactly how to go about it. But then Rob came in and he was just like, okay, so can we be done chit-chatting now so we can I can actually talk to these people?
Mm-hmm. No? He went around the room and did introductions for probably the first 30 to 45 minutes, I'd say.
Yep.
And then he asked, hey, can we all get together and then I can talk? And I don't know. He went for probably another 30 or 45 minutes on his own.
At Maybe. Least, yeah. Yeah, he was. I was very shocked, to be honest. I figured it would be, anything else? Okay, bye. No, he made it a point to try and, like, draw out discussions from people like that, that you could tell they were just kind of scratching the surface of maybe a potentially volatile topic. And he made it a point to try and say, no, let's go toe-to-toe on this. Like, I want you to know that I'm not here on some sort of partisan effort to turn you over to the dark side. Like, I want to tell you how my personal experiences and my personal beliefs play into my politics, which aren't all exactly necessarily representative of the party for which I'm affiliated. And I thought it was very interesting because, as we know, the older generation are going to be the ones whose hearts and minds are harder to sway. And I think that this particular meet and greet type style, where it was very unrehearsed, very off the cuff, very genuine, I thought. I mean, if he's pulling one over on us, he deserves to be in Hollywood because the man was genuine.
Yeah.
And was able to speak eloquently and in detail, in personal detail, about some very, very heavy subjects, up to and including abortion. And he shared things about things that have happened in his life that has framed his viewpoints and how he's come to know who he is, not only as a person, but as a politician, and how he wants to, essentially be remembered as, you know, from a political standpoint. But we're talking all this stuff about an auditor,
right?
About someone.
So he first,
just chases dollars around.
That was one of the points. One of the guys that came, not related to me, had said, was like, well, the first part of what he talked about when it comes to being an auditor is pretty black and white. You break the law, then we're going to prosecute you. It's pretty basic, right? And then he moved on to things that were a little bit more nuanced, a little bit more about what he feels personally about his beliefs and that kind of thing. Now, was he able to change everybody's mind that was there? How they feel about, for example, the sanctity of life, the abortion issue? No, he didn't change anybody's mind. Did he bring people to understand where he is coming from? Absolutely, he did. And it became a deal where you saw people who had probably never listened to a Democrat explain anything.
Except for someone who's Republican-leaning, who's trying to describe what this dirty dog said.
Yeah. Yeah. So for him to articulate that and for everybody to hear it and have opportunities to ask follow-up questions, that was huge. And then he moved on to why we're in the position we're in as a country, where you just have people way out in left field and people way out in right field with our political parties the way they are, and how he feels we should move towards a different style of voting.
Ranked choice.
Where you're not going to get rid of your political parties per se, but you move to ranked choice voting. Like he was a proponent even for a unicameral system like Nebraska has, where you just have one house, you have this many people, and it doesn't matter what party you are, you just win the election. Or you have a primary to get your top couple people, and then you have your election. But it's not like it is in Iowa, which he said is mirrored off of the United States government system of your two houses, or your House and your Senate, and your two political parties. And yeah, as long as we have this, we're always going to wind up with, out of our area here, you're always going to get the most conservative person.
Yeah,
you always will.
100%.
And when you go to the left-leaning east coast of Iowa, which we spent time jawing over that.
We did, yeah.
You may wind up with someone way on the other end of the spectrum, and the ranked choice system, we spent a lot of time on that. And I thought that was really interesting because my folks had never heard of that before, really. So, yeah, that really made a lot of sense, my mom said. Then she wanted his email.
Which scared the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
You stay away from my son. You're corrupting him.
No. Mama, he's
You've
my
embarrassed
friend.
My entire family. He shared this event on Facebook.
Like a couple days ago, Rob Santex, hey, haven't heard from your mom yet. Really looking forward to that email. Oh. Well, I guess I'll tell her. Yeah. You better send Robin
still
an email.
Saved in drafts.
I'm still working on it.
Been edited three times.
Soothing the corners off of, sanding the corners off a little here and there. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was, on one hand, it's like, boy, it was a smaller crowd than what I'd hoped, but it was intimate.
It certainly was.
So everybody that did come had plenty of time to visit with him. And I think we're able to walk away being impacted by who he is as a person. And that's, I would think, for us three guys, when we had him on the podcast, we were just really impressed with how genuine he was, how much he is a lot like us, even though he is different than us with some of the views that he holds. But at the same at the same time still pushing towards the same goal as we have.
Yeah, I think that as far as an example of political discourse is concerned, it was certainly the most pleasant because there was a definitive back and forth, but it was never heated. It was, I understand this. We understand that we do not see eye to eye on this. So thank you.
And I understand I'm not going to change your mind.
Right.
Rob said that on a few occasions. I'm not going to change your mind, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain to you where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and that I thought that was very, very telling of who he is as a person. Like, yeah, is he stumping? Sure. I mean, you know, he needs to win auditor to remain the auditor. Not that he probably wouldn't be as successful or more successful in the private sector and have a better schedule, but at the same time, like, you can tell the dude really cares about what he's championing, and that is, you know, making, you know, bringing light to the dark places and to try and really dismantle the two-party system to try and get our voices heard. And I actually asked him towards the end. I said, okay, so you've spent a large amount of time talking about, you know, what could be done or should be done or whatever. He brought up Alaska and how they, because they do ranked choice, and kind of how using them as a kind of a playbook.
Yeah, but the problem is that showed the ranked choice in Alaska showed that sometimes the best, smartest, most proven, awesomest candidate won't win.
Are you talking about Sarah Palin?
I am, yeah. But I think had it been a primary like it is here and like it used to be there, she probably would have been the candidate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would
think so. But since it was ranked choice voting, well, now she's out there on Fox News saying this is a sham and this isn't what voting is supposed to be and blah, 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 blah. Why? Because she lost.
Right.
Had she won? Oh, that's really good stuff. So, yeah.
But yeah, one of the last questions that I asked him, I said, okay, Rob, how, I dig what you're saying on this particular subject. How can we learn more? And he was able to cite some, and I wish I could remember them off the top of my head. I've got them written down at home, but, a couple of different, organizations that are for, trying to promote the ranked choice voting system, and then a couple of books that were written by authors that are kind of like the same way. And he said it's kind of funny because it almost seems like science fiction, you know, the fact that we can, you know, exist without a two-party system, but maybe that life would be okay.
And he pushed too that Iowa through history has been a game-changing state. Pushing the envelope type state. This was the state where the first of this happened and the first of that happened. And cultural changes were the first to happen here.
Right. Well, I mean, you would think about it. Like, isn't Iowa kind of, I mean, I don't want to talk too far out of my league, but isn't Iowa kind of a microcosm of the country, right? It's mainly agricultural, save for a few powerful urban areas, right? So it's a microcosm of the United States. And if we can find a way, now granted, we're better people here. So
for sure.
Yeah.
But cleaner obviously.
People, if we can find a way, you know, to make it work, then maybe the country can. So that leads me into accidentally, but into my next story, which was we were in Denver this past weekend.
Oh, so now you're on a big legalization kick? Is that where this is headed?
Man. I don't know if you guys have heard, but...
No.
Colorado.
But what was funny is we were downtown Denver, and there was a homeless guy that was pretty sleepy on a Sunday or a Saturday night, and his sign said, need money for weed. Please leave cash or edibles. I appreciate you. Okay. Yeah, let me get right on that. But we were...
These are from Iowa, you said.
They're made from corn. Well, so my wife and I celebrated our 10th anniversary recently, and there was a band that I wanted to go see in Denver. So I said, hey, let's make this for our anniversary. And she's like, okay, jerk, whatever. So we just, it was a quick
trip. Let's go where I want to go.
Yeah.
How fast of a turnaround and how miserable can we be on the way there and back?
Really, it worked out well. I mean, to be honest, it was like the best.
I mean, the way you planned the trip was like, I can't handle another 10 years of this. I gotta find a way for her to finally call this thing off.
So, and
here, what about this?
And it was
terrible. And it, 12 hours idea.
Each way in a 2-day span.
It wasn't, though. I mean,
let's see, a hotel where the people have reported stolen catalytic converters.
Oh my God.
And a band you don't want to see. Yeah, sounds
what
great.
Do you think about coming now? Anything else I can add?
Wink, wink.
What can I say? I'm a hopeless romantic.
And she went.
Yeah. She did. Yeah. And she came home with
didn't
me, too.
See that so, I mean, come. That was. Well, I guess I'm going to have to buy another ticket to the band. I didn't think you'd come.
Although, when I told her we were driving, she about said, get rid of that ticket, but.
Turned out not to be so bad, didn't it?
No, it was not so bad.
Mitch, the driver.
Mitch just grew like a
the
half
proponent
inch.
Of
so,
driving.
Well.
So. Well, because
I think it's been recorded, right?
Yeah, because on the last podcast, I was like, dude, it's like $250 round trip.
Mm-hmm. Per person.
Per person.
Right, you could drive to Denver and back 10 times for that, but sure.
10 times.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe not.
Okay, because
yeah, I'm exaggerating.
You're usually not the exaggerator, but
you add in what it would cost to rent a car and Uber around and blah 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 blah. Yeah,
Uber was expensive because even with driving there, like Uber, we were in Westminster, Colorado, which is a suburb that's like 10-12 miles out. But yeah, it was the cheapest Uber from. Where we were at downtown was $20 all the way up to 60 something when we wanted to get back from our concert Sunday night. It was stupid, but we didn't really have a choice, right? Because I had actually thought about driving and I'm so glad I didn't. No, because Sunday. No,
all the Snapchats that we got.
So easy here.
Sunday night, I had 2 beers literally the entire night.
Sunday day, though, ever right. You were spent at a Vikings bar
before 7 p.m.
But I took a nap.
One,
I took a nap,
and you went to a Scotch bar.
Oh, I did. That was awesome.
Okay, so you lost count. Okay. Of how many beverages? Right. Apparently,
we've ordered a recount.
We were drinking.
There's a few hanging chads. Didn't make their way into the drink.
It
count.
Was pitchers of Coors Light. I mean, really, I was basically
I
just staying hydrated.
Pictures of Coors Light
in between flights of scotch. Yeah.
No, what was bad though was
no, I don't know why you didn't drive.
Sunday was like we didn't even have breakfast. Like we were gonna have breakfast, but we're kind of thrown off by the time change yet. So
you didn't give yourself time to acclimate.
Well, that's true. All right. So should I just go through this timeline so that way people know what we're talking about? That we keep jumping around like a weird Inception movie. So we left Saturday morning, dropped Ava off at grandma's house about 8:30 and made our way. Got to Denver Saturday night about 6 p.m. And then grabbed a quick appetizer and a beer at the local area next to our hotel while we kind of tried to figure out what we were going to do for the night. Decided, okay, let's go downtown. It's Saturday night. Let's see the sights and whatever. And so got the Uber. And so the Uber that we got was this kid. And he maybe 21, but was a super kid. Like he was talkative. I mean, he was outgoing. He said, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Like kids don't normally do nowadays. So. You know, having had a couple beers, I'm like, so what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, that's how I start a lot of conversations because obviously
that way he can.
That makes sense.
After a couple beers, he loves to give fatherly advice.
So oh, and I did.
Well, I would never do that.
No, you were 100% right. I did. I totally did. Because so I told him because he was so outgoing. I said, man, you need to be in sales. Like
I thought you were going
to
say radio.
No. No, I told him about my time on radio. I said, well, if you don't care about money, you'd do really good at radio. And I said the same thing about teaching because he was very, he was.
Yeah, but I think those two are still very, very different.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Teaching, you can make money.
Well, radio, you could make money. I mean,
I don't know what I would call what's made at radio money.
Well, probably not in Sheldon, Iowa. But I mean, if you were in like a Des Moines or something, I mean, you, that would be at least
minimum
doable.
Wage at the very least.
But anyway,
he was from
Arizona, and he was here to, you know, live the life. Like he had graduated. So he must have been 20 because he said he was like just a year or two out of high school, still trying to just drifting around, like trying to figure out what to do with life. And I said, young man, find yourself a woman and come to the Midwest. You have a Midwest work ethic. You are one of our people. Come to, because we got into how messed up Denver is right now, and it really is. There's a lot of seedy underbelly there that's going on. That I said, man, if you just want to live like a good normal life, yeah, sure, it's not very exciting, not super sexy, but you know what, every day is a joy because you go to bed not worrying about anything, at least from an existential perspective. But and he's like, wow, this is the most intellectual conversation I've ever had with one of my Uber guys before. And I said, well, son,
at this point you had your hand on his shoulder.
You'll be less intellectual on the way back.
And he's like, yeah, well, thank you. Like, he was thanking me for the conversation. I was like,
but he still charged you for the ride.
Well,
that's a shame.
He's not in charge of that. But I made sure he was tipped. But then we had to try and figure out what to do downtown. And I walked into a Dierks Bentley bar after being frisked for firearms.
And well, you were wearing three layers of clothing.
No. I was wearing my cargo shorts and a t-shirt.
Super high-tech shirt.
And it was a super high-tech shirt.
Attaboy.
Or represent the brand. I mean, you know. And yeah, we'll get into it next.
Size of our brains, and mine is just working on overtime at like 120%, so it just burns a lot of calories.
Is that right?
Right.
But yet there's still left over for the
there's still
bottom
plenty
half.
Left over.
That was did you learn that in some sort of physiology class or
something? I saw on Twitter.
Oh, well,
that's where I learn everything lately.
It must be true. Especially if it's
as good a place as any.
Really like Twitter. Really do.
You know, I do too. Like, that's...
Not on Facebook a whole lot anymore.
Yeah, not either.
It's just really not. There's nothing there to really learn. There's no news. I like the news aspect of Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Facebook might show me, oh, look, so-and-so's expecting. Or, oh, look, somebody...
Which I like to see, but somebody, anything funny on Facebook is usually a screenshot of Twitter. You ever notice
right,
that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Or I say, oh, look, some dude changed his profile picture to his kids.
You kind of got called out
on
that
one.
Yeah,
you did. You did.
Yeah, last Wednesday night, this guy's like, hey, so my wife listens to your podcast. Yeah? Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
And I just happened to change my profile picture to me, the kids, and the race car, and then my wife wanted to know if there was something I should tell her. What's that about? Oh, well... If she didn't explain it to you, so then there was probably eight of us there at the time. And then I was like, yeah, well, you know, when guys do this and the ladies do that, a lot of times there's infidelity there. And everybody was like, oh, yeah. And then we all took turns going around the table saying, I saw so-and-so switch theirs to the kids. Sure enough, in a couple weeks, it came out. And yeah, it's a sad deal.
Well, yeah,
of course.
But it's terrible. Like, terrible. Good. His wife, of all people, should know that anybody with a race car can't afford a mistress. All the extra cash is going to that.
Yeah,
thing.
Pretty sure the mistress is on four wheels. Yeah.
And I hope she was joking when she said that to him, that she wasn't like, hey, we got to talk.
Yeah, that'd be nice if
these three guys on the podcast told me you're cheating on me.
And they have
I promise I didn't.
They have tens of listeners, so they must know.
They must be right.
Logic is so sound.
He wasn't mad at me that we'd said it, so I think it was all in good fun. My old. Yeah,
all of your tires well, if he remained had
been
inflated. Mad,
that would have been a red flag, actually. Like, right. You blew my cover.
That's right. Thank you, jerk. How'd you know? Why are you talking about me on the pod?
Why are you singling me out, man?
Was going to say their names. Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Sarah. Sarah, thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry your husband doesn't listen, or he could have headed that one off at the pass, kept you from being concerned.
This wouldn't be someone that would have the power to like arrest us.
No, doesn't always make you nervous though when somebody you don't know, like you know them but maybe don't know them super well, and they're like, "Hey, I listen to your podcast," and you're like,
yeah. And you're still all right. Your fist is not clenched. All right, that's a good sign.
Yeah. I don't know you well enough to know if you smile when you're mad or not.
A guy I know from Sibley, and I know him fairly well, but not super well. And he's like, "Hey, I listened to your podcast the other day," and I'm like,
"Dot dot dot."
Oh, what did you think of that? Right. He's like, "It's pretty entertaining." Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
No,
All right. We're good.
It is good.
But then he was with a contingent of people who were bringing Joni Ernst around on Monday through Sibley. She was kind of doing a downtown tour, came and visited our Rotary meeting and talked to us.
Oh, you're president.
You get all of the highfalutin celebs in Sibley at the Rotary.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's an important group. That's why I'm part of it.
Obviously.
But then he comes up to me and he goes, "Well, you're usually hobnobbing with Democrats like Rob Sands."
You Democrats are.
Nobody else here knows that. And that's the only people that'll come on our podcast. So,
right.
You know, it's not like we're discriminating. That's just worked out. Yeah.
Apparently.
You should have asked Joni Ernst if she had time to swing over to a little hole in the wall in Shelton and record a podcast. I don't know that
she would be impressed with our studio.
Doesn't matter. Whatever, man. Agree to it beforehand.
I didn't get a chance to talk to her privately.
She's ex-military. She knows how.
I do have her handler's card, though.
Good.
So
next time
maybe
you're up
I can
here.
Arrange it.
Yep. That would be crazy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Just bump up. Oh, yeah, U.S. Senator. NBD.
No big deal.
We do, that's kind of what we do here.
So I'm just trying to envision. So like usually if I want my wife to clean, I'll say, "Oh, the geeses are coming over." And then you guys turn around and tell me, "Oh, a senator's coming." Oh, no.
John, we got to buy a new building.
Let's knock down some walls.
Or is it nice enough we can do it outside?
You know, for the people. But yeah, getting back to Denver Saturday or Friday. Yeah, Saturday night we, trying to figure out what to do and walked because we thought we went to a deal. It was like an outdoor beer garden that had like bags and stuff like that, you know, and thought in food trucks. Like, okay, perfect. We get there. Well, they quit doing that last year. And now it's like ice skating or no roller skating. Like,
and they looked at you like, "Whoa, you're not going to try to skate, are you?"
The physics of this.
Oh, man.
I'm not liking it.
I can
get the
go.
Special waiver.
I can go, and it's just that whole stopping thing. But. Then we walked around.
Do you have skateboards? I need to buckle my feet to skateboards. You do not have any skates wide enough for these feet.
Now stop. Come on. You would think with this much surface area, I would be more sturdy. But so we finally just kind of end up making our way to Coors Field, basically. And Dirk's Bentley has a bar there. So we're thinking, all right, we can go to the Dirk's Bentley bar or the one that's Blair and Ying Yang Twins and whatever else. I don't really know what it was. I don't know rap, but. Just going by the musical style, like maybe I could handle country a little better. It's all so terrible loud anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, like 2/3 of country music is about beer, if not more.
Yeah, and I can get right behind that, I tell you what. So get in there.
I'm so sorry. I'm a loud sneezer. Couldn't help it.
Well, to be fair, you're about allowed everything. Oh, so yeah.
Thanks.
We walk, you know, you have to get in line, and that had to be frisked.
You had to get in line to get. Oh, wow.
And you get in. So finally, after getting frisked, they realized I was not a threat. It was allowed.
You know
entry.
How many guns you could be carrying underneath that sweatshirt? Nope. That's just him there.
So, and we walk in, and the waitresses are wearing, I guess you'll have to help me out with the nomenclature. I'm not sure
Mitch,
what it would be.
You'll have to help him out.
Would it be a corset where it's like basically like a one-piece bikini in lingerie form? Where it's like you have the straps. You have.
I feel like this is entrapment.
Why do you actually know more than you're letting on?
Well, I played I don't the know, fifth. No, yeah, I don't. I have no idea.
But yeah, it was basically like it was
at the Dirks Bentley bar.
It was basically a one piece. What would be. If they were wearing a swimsuit, it'd be a one-piece swimsuit, but it was in lingerie form.
Okay.
And then had pantyhose on, and that was their attire.
And your wife said, good pick, Wayne.
I had no idea.
You know, usually the wings are tremendous at this kind of place.
I mean, when I was in Florida. Now that you mention it, they have the same attire in Florida. But no, I had never tried so hard in my life to maintain eye contact. I mean, had it just been me, maybe the eye would have wandered a little. I'm next to my wife. And
Anniversary trip.
So we got two drinks for the total of $21.
Oof.
Yeah. And
weak ones, I'm assuming,
too. Oh, yep. And we said, okay, well, let's see what else is on here. So, ended up walking down to, and we found like the bar that was least packed, which I know you're thinking, okay, it's probably going to be the crappiest bar or whatever. Turns out, here, I'll leave this just wide open for Mitch. It's a sports bar that is Iowa Hawkeyes. It's an Iowa Hawkeye sports bar in downtown Denver. I think it was called the Sports Column, maybe? But then I felt like, okay, well, because the music was not as loud and I could sit down. So then I felt better. And we ended up closing the night out there and then walked across the street to the pizza truck. And my wife, like, had never had a slice of, like, the New York style pizza where it's, you know, as big as your face. And she thought she had died and gone to heaven. This is so good. Oh, my God. You got to try that. No. I went to the Mexican place and got the burrito. And
happy anniversary, honey.
We decided.
Our anniversary with a side of indigestion.
Well, okay, so
yeah, what can I eat that will make this the most miserable night of our lives?
Okay, so let's look at it this way. I could either eat a burrito whose ingredients I am more my insides are more accustomed to, or something completely full of cheese with my lactose intolerant ass. So lesser of two evils here, right? So anyway, we get back.
Both very evil.
Yes, but. Necessity being the mother of invention, we moved on. So we decided, all right, Sunday, it's our last full day. We got the concert at 7 o'clock at night. Let's make a day of it. Let's get up early. So got up at 7. No, that wasn't gonna happen. Got up at 8. Okay, 8's more reasonable. Again, dealing with the time change, and
that would be 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, but we also stayed out later. We also stayed out till like
on the other side.
So
you're excused.
Thank you. So then we're like, okay, well, maybe we'll drive out to Red Rocks in the morning and then come back into town and then, you know, maybe go downtown, have a nice dinner before the show that was happening at 7. And what ended up happening was I saw, holy crap, they have a Minnesota Vikings bar. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we can go there. And I said, all right, here's the deal.
Man, master trip planner, this guy.
Well, so check, but yeah, but check this out, though. I had it planned out because it was directly across the street from the Denver Art Museum. And my wife's a big art, whatever, weirdo person. So likes looking at that stuff. So I said, I'll watch the game. You go take an art. You know, I won't like that stuff. I know you're not that crazy into football. You know, we all win. Happy anniversary, right? Boom. Got it. We get there and it is chock full. All you can see is purple. And I'm like, am I home? Did I die and go to heaven? It's all Vikings fans. And then we ended up staying the whole time. Like, even Becky's like, oh, this is really fun. Because it's just all like somebody brought a drum. So you would do the boom, stupid. Boom, skull. Like, it was. Wow. And we won. And so then that was awesome.
And then we won.
Which is totally unexpected. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
happy
they were playing.
Yeah,
you bet.
Who are they playing?
They were playing the Detroit Lions.
Oh, man. Well.
So, game gets done. It's 2 local time. So, like, okay, this is a dangerous hour. Like, decisions have to be made right now that will impact the rest of our night. So, we can go home or back to the hotel right now. And, you know, if we take a nap or whatever, then be up for a sensible
dinner. Or whatever.
Dinner.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. Got it.
Okay, so if we go back to the hotel, wait 2 minutes, then go take a nap, whatever. Or we just kind of explore our surroundings, and it just so happened that next to this bar was this British pub. And so they had, you know, it's where one would go to get bangers and mash or fish and chips. But I was more drawn in by the fact that they had 200 different varieties of Scotch whiskey, all single malt, ranged in price from about $13 for a drink to $5,000. Yeah, for a drink. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. But I was able to get, you know, like they had flights, whiskey flights. And that's what I sent a picture to you guys. And it was really cool how they set it up because they had like, okay, you could do it by region. So, all right, these 4 are from the lowlands. These are from the highlands. These are, you know, so I did the lowland flight. I said, okay.
Which is that a peatier?
Yes. Yeah. It is a more peatier flavor to it. So, and they said, okay, here's, you know, like the first one here, that's like the easy drinking one. And then the one all the way to the right, that's your most peaty, mossy kind of really...
Really smoky.
Yes, have to choke it down. So they said, what you do is you try each one, and, you know, take a sip of each one. Then you kind of evaluate, like, what your palate, you know, what you prefer. And then they also gave you, like, a little thing of water that they said, well, so here's some spring water. And then they gave you, like, this little metal straw. And they said, just take your finger and put it over the straw, and then you can just drop a little bit of water in each one, and doing that releases the flavors and stuff like that. And it was, and they were right on. It was awesome. That was like the highlight of my trip, was just getting into that.
Well, second to spending time with your wife.
Well, duh. I mean, that was without saying it goes.
But the booze was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to really understand here. So then, yeah, left there at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, said, okay, let's go home or back to the hotel. And we took a nap and got up at 5:30 and went downtown, and then it was concert time.
And what was the band again?
Porcupine Tree.
Porcupine Tree.
And what did you think it was?
I don't, what did I say, like transatlantic salmon?
Or yeah, transatlantic armadillo or something like that.
I knew it was something
that's really close to it, a was, porcupine it
was,
tree.
It was actually like, I could use that band name. I might stash that one away if I ever have the chance. But, oh my God, it was a band that I had found in 2015 that, like, I fell in love with, and then found out that they're like, oh, sorry, broke up for good. Never see us again live. So then when I was doing my school thing in March, they said, okay, guess what? We're doing an American tour. And I got pre-sale availability for the Denver show. And I was a 1 a.m. purchase. I'm like, yeah, well, I'll probably be able to sell these anyway. But I got them. And it worked out. And I'm so glad it did. Like, I was... such an awesome show. It's been a long, long, long time since I've seen a show like that where I've been like, finally, you know, just been.
Did Becky enjoy it?
She did, yeah. Because maybe I'm a little, you know, much. And when I get into a band or something like that, especially if I have a couple drinks, I'll come home and that'll be what's. Oh, what are we doing tonight? Oh, we're sitting on the deck and we're listening to music. Like, that's my jam. That's my 100% most favorite thing in the world is just to sit outside and listen to music. And so she bless her heart. She relents and says, okay, let's do it. And so she's had to listen to this and she truly doesn't mind it. She said she's actually put it on voluntarily when really? I wasn't there before. So,
oh, wow. She's really into it then.
Hey,
I accidentally shuffled into it on.
No, what's this? This is the stuff. Yeah, Wayne, fine,
whatever.
Hey, and I did the same for her. Went and saw Smashing Pumpkins and whiny bitch ass Billy Corgan go on for like 2.5 hours. And it was just, he was awful. I started taking laps around the Denny Sanford. And
boy, and if Wayne is feeling the urge to walk,
yes,
instead of sitting yes. through the concert,
because I couldn't,
you know, it's got to be bad.
I was drinking, so I couldn't drive. So I was like, I need to do something. Walk. So I walked, which probably should something I should do more of instead of drinking. Regardless,
we play you a little Smashing Pumpkins, and you'll be out walking with Mitch every morning.
That's right. No, stop. I
put on your headset, Wayne.
This is not the mayonnaise that I like.
Time to go for the walk.
It's like a Pavlovian response.
It is.
This I gotta walk. There's a blizzard.
Don't care. Pumpkins are on. Some asshole played zero again. Damn it.
But then came home Monday morning. We left Denver at about 6:30. And I got home about 4:30 local time here in actually it was in Orange City where we had to pick the dog up. But yeah, it was actually really it had a great time and
pleasant drive.
It was a pleasant drive. It really was.
What was Mitch's the ride. Scenic route that I recommended? Was it did you enjoy it?
I did to a point. They had some areas that were sketchy. Like we went through a probably 3-4 mile stretch of like Tulane where it was completely covered in gravel. Like it was blacktop, but somehow completely covered in gravel. And I have no idea why. And then all of a sudden, and then the road would curve and it got like real windy. It was weird. So then that part was like,
yeah,
oh,
I
okay.
took that way. I liked it.
I bet you did. I liked it.
I did.
I liked it.
So are
Google's
you,
taking me to...
Are you familiar with that way where the incredibly too much rock and gravel over asphalt for no apparent reason?
You sure it wasn't just tar and chip that they...
No. It was like legit white asphalt. Mm.
I don't know. You must have been a little off course.
Google, yeah. When we went out to get the cattle in Nebraska, when we came back, it took us... on a more scenic route that was supposed going to be faster. And it put us on a fair amount of gravel.
Did it really?
Yeah. And it was, and it's showing on Google, like, no, this is a well-traveled, good, solid, take it road.
Yeah. Ours tried to take us on gravel one time, but there was a alternate route and whatever, you know, so it wasn't a.
And one deal. Thing that I did find interesting was that there were deviations in the route between using Waze, the traffic app, and using Google. So what I ended up using was like a combination between the two. And because yeah, there were some where it was like, okay, well, this will you'll arrive 40 minutes later. Like, what? this is the quickest route. So then I'd go down, and then the other one would recalculate. Like, oh yeah, no, this is a good route. Good route. Good call. And then, you know, the vice versa would happen. So I would flip back and forth between the amps just to keep them honest, I guess. And
well, I'm just glad that you told me the routes were nearly identical in length, because my father-in-law was absolutely convinced that taking Interstate saved over 2 hours.
And that's wrong.
I was like, there is no, it's like 70 miles shorter. There's no way you're making up 70 miles and 2 more hours
right.
by taking the Interstate. So I feel vindicated, which is
all you look for in life.
That puts gas in my tank.
Yep. Yeah. Aaron likes compliments. Mitch survives on vindication.
Yep. You were right. I didn't think you were, but now I know you were right.
And I just...
I knew I was right all along.
The whole time.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And I just like attention, so... Hey, look at me! Until next time, we'll see you.
Chippewa on down of the big lick they called Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
All right, so if you're a regular listener, you may have noticed that there were only two segments there. And that was because as we started segment 3, the wheels, they just kind of fell off. Do you remember that scene from Ghostbusters 2? So I know Aaron won't. Where they get covered in that pink ooze and then just start getting angry at everybody? That's what happened in segment 3 for some reason. And that reason's probably me. So it was not anything that was fit for broadcast. But for fun, I did take a few snippets of our segment 3 debacle and shared them without context for posterity's sake, because it's a lot funnier now. And don't worry. We're all still friends, and everything's okay. So, without further ado, here are pieces of segment 3 that you can try and put together. And we'll see you next time.
All around me are familiar.
You're being mean.
Worn out places.
No, I have my mind.
Wait a minute.
Bright and early for the
day. Yeah, good pull there, jerk.
Going
I'm not going to take
your deal.
You weren't even there. The hell you're going to talk like
I'm siding with Aaron. Aaron's right.
Can you guys all sit down? I want to talk to you. Rob, no, shut up. This is my thing.
No tomorrow. Shut up. You weren't even there. You have no idea.
And I find it kind of funny.
I didn't contribute anything.
The dreams in which I'm dying are.
So shut up. Was happy
so
with it.
Shut up.
I find it hard to tell.
Not my fault. I had to take a nap. I love them.
People run in circles. It's a very, very.
This is a really dumb argument.
It really is.
No.
Can't believe he just took a big old deuce right on my thing for Rob's sand.
Children,
I just said it's a dumb argument. We're done.
You
kids,
did.
We are done.
Happy birthday. Happy
it's fine. I think he did a fine job.
Oh, do you? You wouldn't know.
You got 2 minutes to wrap this damn thing up. I gotta get going.
Sit and listen. Sit and listen.
Aaron's already belched in the microphone.
That says we're not recording this. It's stupid.
No one knew me.
Because we were talking about, like, the field day. And then all of a sudden you were like,
Now, just imagine if you would have done this kind of effort with that super shitty thing you did for the auditor.
Yeah, that's about, like, I mean,
what the, where the hell did that come from?
I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying.
It's joking around. God, just stop.
No one,
stop. Stop.
No.
Stop. I don't know what crawled up your rear end, but...
You did. You...
Are we done?
Yeah, that's a great way to wrap this up. Are we done?
Well, I know you've heard that before.
Okay.
I didn't contribute anything.